An amber-tinted image of old studio buildings ripples like water. The image is reflected in the golden edge of the Warner Brothers shield. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. A grand four-story building stands half-lit under a midnight blue sky. Torchlight flickers through windows from rooms on the first floor. Inside, rows of beds lie shrouded in darkness in a dormitory. Beams of light from the torch shine in through the glass-paneled door. A figure steps into the dormitory and shines the torch around, illuminating the basic metal-framed beds and shiny wooden floor. The figure leaves. In one of the beds, somebody stirs. A boy of about 15 sits up, fully dressed, and hurriedly places a torch into a rucksack by the side of his bed.
Prosper, they can't send you to the orphanage. They can't. My brother, we have to stick together. Prosper, please don't leave me. Don't leave me.
Prosper stands up and quickly makes his way past the rows of sleeping boys, the rucksack slung over his shoulder. Out in the corridor, he hesitates by an open doorway. Pulling the second strap of the rucksack over his other shoulder, Prosper hurries past the door. Later, he runs along a city street. He crosses a road in a suburban area and jogs up the drive of a large, white, modern villa. Prosper climbs up onto a balcony and stands by a window.
Bo!
A little boy pulls back the curtain.
Prosper!
Blonde-haired Bo opens the window and the two brothers embrace.
Have you got your things? We have to go fast.
I knew you wouldn't leave me with them.
Come on!
Prosper looks up at Bo.
Jump! Quick, Bo! Jump!
Prosper catches Bo. Prosper pulls a bike out of some bushes.
I pumped out yesterday.
The boys get onto the bike. A man and a woman run out of the villa.
I knew it!
Come back here, you kidnapper! You'll be locked away for good this time!
Oh, my poor little baby!
At a railway station, Prosper cycles down a gap between two trains.
What? Where's this train going?
Hopefully south.
Prosper lifts Bo into a freight car.
Hey, Bo, give us a hand.
They haul the bike in and shut the door.
Oh, push! Bye, push!
In gold lettering, the title appears, The Thief Lord. A gold-winged lion stands on top of the word thief. A barge makes its way into the Venice Lagoon, the Church of Madonna della Salute in the distance. The boys sit amidst crates and boxes in the barge's cargo hold.
Are we nearly there?
Almost.
The barge speeds along through undulating water. Prosper and Bo peep out from under the tarpaulin and gaze in awe as they pass the Doge's palace. Prosper turns and looks at his coughing brother. The barge travels along a canal, passing gondolas full of tourists. Later, Bo takes two toy gondolas from one of the boxes in the hold.
Look, Prop, gondolas.
What are you doing opening the boxes? Put them back.
I didn't. This one was open already.
Put them back anyway. They don't belong to us.
Bo, a gondola in each hand, looks at the toys sadly. Prosper sighs and shakes his head. The couple from the white villa, who are in their 60s, walk briskly along a canal. The woman points and the couple make their way over towards a shop. A name plaque by the door reads, Victor Gertz. A mustachioed man carrying a crate ambles up behind them.
Buongiorno. You'd appear to be looking for me. Victor Gertz. Investigations of all kinds. Follow me.
The couple follow Victor down an alleyway.
I came across these tortoises at the fish market. Poor wrinkled things, freezing their little bottoms off amongst all that ice.
The barge continues on its journey along the canals of Venice. Prosper and Bo stare out from under the tarpaulin as it passes under the Rialto Bridge. The barge slows down as it nears a jetty. Prosper shouts to Bo.
Come on, we have to go.
What's the matter?
Just do as I say, all right?
Oi, oi, which is it? Where do you think you're going? I have little thieves on my boat.
Get off, go.
Give them here.
Give it.
Where are you stopping?
Prosper leaves the bike, picks Bo up and runs.
Come on, boss.
In his office, Victor removes his mustache.
Disguise, madam. A necessity in my line of business, you understand. So, what can I do for you? Anything lost or stolen?
This is what we have lost.
A photo.
Oh, children. I've tracked down many things in my time. Suitcases, dogs, the occasional husband. But you're the first clients who've ever mislaid their children, Mr. and Mrs.
Hartleave. Mr. and Mrs. Maximilian Hartleave.
And they are not our children.
Prosper and Boniface are my late sister's sons. She raised the boys on her own.
Oh, Prosper and Boniface. What peculiarly charming names.
Yes, well, my late sister had a fondness for anything peculiar. However, when she died 3 months ago, my husband and I applied for custody of Boniface. Well, we could hardly be expected to take on his older brother as well. I mean, any reasonable person could see that.
Prosper kidnapped Beau a week ago and brought him here to Venice.
And what makes you so sure that they came here?
Their mother loved Venice. She planned to move here with the boys. Filled their heads with all manner of hocus-pocus about the magical things that happen here.
The boys are walking down an alleyway. Bo stops.
I'm hungry.
Prosper, who's a little way ahead, turns round. He slips his rucksack off his shoulders and goes back to Bo, takes a bread roll out of the rucksack and hands it to him.
It's the last one.
Bo takes a bite and sets off after his brother.
Have we got any more money?
Don't worry, I'll find us enough to eat.
I know, because you're my big bro.
Prosper stops as he sees the flashing green light of a pharmacy sign up ahead. Prosper reaches into his trouser pocket and pulls out a handful of coins. He looks at them with a sigh.
Okay.
He walks forwards.
Wait here, okay?
Where are you going?
Prosper walks inside the pharmacy and nervously looks about. He makes his way over to a display stand where brown medicine bottles are arranged in front of a picture of a coughing man. Prosper checks that no one is about, then picks up a bottle of the medicine. He slowly lifts up the bottom of his jacket as if to hide the bottle underneath, then stops and goes to put the bottle back. The pharmacist spins him round.
Squizzy!
He's gonna put it back.
That's what they all say.
Come on.
The boys run back down the alley.
Stop there!
The pharmacist chases them.
Get back here!
A figure in a long dark coat and wearing a mask with a long pointed beak protruding from it watches the chase from the rooftops above. The figure leaps effortlessly across the narrow alley. The white-bearded pharmacist struggles to keep up with the two young boys. The masked figure hurries along scaffolding. As the pharmacist runs over a small bridge, the figure slides down a length of rope to street level. As the pharmacist jogs by, the figure pulls the rope taut. The pharmacist trips over it.
I think we lost him.
Prosper and Beau have come to rest in an empty building, littered with junk.
I think we lost ourselves as well.
Prop?
Mm-hmm.
When you have no money, do you have to run away from everyone?
We're not running away anymore, Bo. Mum wanted us to be here. This is where we live now.
Here?
Bo looks around.
No, silly. In Venice. There must be a reason why she loved it so much.
Bo gapes as a statue of a merman moves its head and nods at him.
What?
The fishman looked at me.
You're tired. The shadows can play tricks on you in the night.
Are you lost?
No.
You look lost to me.
The masked boy moves closer.
Who are you? What do you want?
Questions better put by me to you.
Prosper. My little brother, Bo.
Have you lost your mummy and daddy?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Then I'll help you find them.
can't. They're not with us anymore.
Ah, orphans. And so young.
Prosper slaps the boy's hand away.
Now tell me. What did you steal? Money? Jewels? Are you lock pickers? Purse pickers? Pocket pickers?
Not thieves. Please, just leave us alone. We have no money.
Now run along home, wherever that may be.
This is where we live now.
Don't be ridiculous. Do you know what happens here after dark? Things little eyes should never, ever see.
We're not scared.
Not scared? Well, aren't you the little tiger?
I'm not scared of here. I'm not scared of you.
Good. Then follow me to safety. Right this way.
They don't move.
Or would you rather sleep in the dark and damp doorways?
He walks away.
Did I mention the rats?
Bo climbs down from a crate.
What have you got to lose, Prop?
Bo grabs Prosper's hand and scuttles along, dragging his reluctant brother behind him. Bo and Prosper follow the masked boy, who's dressed all in black, through the dimly lit, deserted nighttime streets and down a narrow alleyway. The boy turns back to them.
Gentlemen, my humble abode, the Stella. Our star lair. Strictly no grown-ups allowed.
He leans down to Bo.
You're not a grown-up, are you? Only some of them are very small. You wouldn't be trying to trick me on my own turf, would you?
I'm 6 1/4.
The boy removes his mask.
That makes you a VIP.
The door opens.
You give me the willies every time you're late.
Have I ever let you down?
What are they doing here?
They need my help, just like you did, Richard, dear boy. Remember?
He ushers Prosper and Bo in.
We've been staking out the Palazzo Pisani for days, like you told us. It's always crowded, parties and things.
Then I'll fit in perfectly.
Are you thieves or something?
Not just any thieves. Skip's the thief lord, the greatest thief in Venice.
Aren't you scared of the police?
Prosper looks up in awe as the boy shifts a lever. Lights come on, illuminating the auditorium of a cinema. A girl appears on a balcony above.
2 o'clock, typical. Steal a watch next time, we were going to send out a search party.
This little fellow has a nasty cough. Do you have anything for it in your medicine cupboard?
Who are they?
They're friends of mine. They need to crash here. Enough said.
The boy jumps from his hammock.
Here comes Matron with her magic potion.
It's all right, I won't bite. I'm Hornet.
This is the wardrobe.
You're burning up, does it hurt with a cough?
Help yourselves.
Really?
Oh, it won't get better than these sodden old rags.
We have to go back and pick up my haul. I left it somewhere near the Contarini.
In the middle of the night?
Where's the pastor of Betty Boyer's mosque?
I don't think it'd be good for him, walking around in the night.
I don't recall saying anything about walking.
The kids ride along a canal in a speedboat.
How did you steal this?
Nothing safe from the thief lord.
Faster,
Hold on!
A police boat.
This is the police.
They speed away. Skip arcs the boat round and speeds up a narrow waterway between high buildings.
Shall we stop?
What? And ruin the fun?
The police keep close behind the speedboat as it cuts through the water and races under a bridge.
What do we do now?
Watch this!
Skip pulls a rope above them and a boat falls behind them. The police boat crashes into it. At the abandoned Stella Cinema, the thieves' hideout, Bo watches as a sack of stolen booty is emptied out.
Is it gold?
Gold, silver, glittering jewels. Plucked from the grown-ups.
Put it down, they stole it.
Boy, one there, they're gonna catch you, Skip.
Take everything to Barbarossa tomorrow and try and get a decent price this time.
How? He just laughs at us, the fat pig.
Prop can do it. He's great at selling things.
Hey.
When we sold my old toys at the second-hand shop, they tried to give us peanuts, so he just went...
Stern face.
Like a stone, so they gave us lots more money.
Bo.
Okay, you try. And if you manage to outfox the old scoundrel, you and your brother can stay as long as you like.
Skip smiles at the brothers. Prosper follows spiky-haired Riccio to a parade of shops.
Your big moment, stony face.
Riccio thrusts the sack into Prosper's hands and they go into a shop run by a bald-headed, grey-bearded man.
What are you smiling at, hedgehog boy? Go and wait in the office. Don't touch anything, understood?
The boys sit in leather chairs in front of a large desk.
What a rude man. I call him Fat Oily Slaphead Slimo.
Right, let the dog see the bone.
The man, Barbarossa, sits at the desk and Prosper reaches into the sack. He pulls out handfuls of jewellery, expensive cutlery and other trinkets and lays them on the desk in front of Barbarossa, who examines them.
Well, there are a couple of decent items here, so I'm going to offer 100, which is very generous. Let's just say I'm in a generous mood today.
1,000 or no deal.
Barbarossa's smile vanishes and he leans forward.
Have you lost your mind, boy? I'll make you a generous offer. Too generous! And you insult me with fanciful nonsense. Tell the thief lord to send the boat boy or the hornet girl next time if he wants to continue doing business with Ernesto Barbarossa.
I'm the thief lord's official negotiator now.
Riccio looks nervous as Prosper stands up and starts loading the booty back into the sack.
300 for the lot. Most of it's rubbish.
8.
4.
7.
475.
687.5.
You're a clever lad. So.
He stands.
I'm going to give you 500. The last time I let you treat me like a child.
Barbarossa grabs the boys as they walk out of the shop.
One more thing. A client of mine is looking for someone who will, shall we say, procure a certain item for him.
Well, if he's sick...
He's looking for someone who'll steal something for him. Is that clear enough for your muggy ears? And tell the thief lord that there's big money in it for him.
At the hideout, Hornet rubs Bo's chest.
Stop it, it tickles.
Just a little more. You need to stay in bed for a bit.
Where were you going? What would you have done if Scipio hadn't picked you up?
I think we could have managed it. Prop's very brave and I'm good at cheering him up. So we make a good team.
We all take care of each other here. All of us are orphans too.
I'm not an orphan. My dad went away in a ship and he hasn't come back yet. But he thinks of me all the time.
That's what he keeps telling us.
It's true. One day I'll sail all over the world and I'll find him.
I believe you, Oscar.
Mosca grins in the street.
Prosper Scipio will never let anyone sell his loot ever again. Boy, we never dare talk to Fatty Slaphead like that.
Those things are probably worth even more.
Riccio jumps on Prosper's back, then gets off and looks into a baker's window.
Prosper, come back!
Victor spots them.
Prosper, come back! I've got to get some of this. Look at all this stuff. Let's celebrate, Prop.
Victor takes a false moustache from his jacket and puts it on while the boys stare at cream cakes.
We should get the money back to the others first.
Excuse me, son. Your name's Prosper, isn't it?
Prosper legs it and Riccio headbutts Victor in the stomach.
Take that, fairy face!
The boys run down steps.
Come on! What's the matter?
Victor lumbers after the boys and a woman spots him.
Victor?
He stops.
Ciao, Victor. You can't fool me with that moustache.
Oh, excuse me, Ida, but I'm on a case. I can't talk now.
Oh, hope I didn't ruin anything. Suits you, though.
The boys are now some distance away.
Why are you running?
The man knew my name.
So what? So what?
They run through the alleys and Prosper pulls Riccio into a doorway.
Okay, cool it. So what if he knew your name?
I think he's trying to get me.
And I think you're trying to nick our money.
Yeah, and leave my brother behind.
All that cash thought you were trying to trick me.
Victor looks down the alley and they duck back.
Oh, man. Maybe you're right. I know. This way.
They run with Victor chasing them.
Who is he? Some kind of private detective. Victor the Snooper, that's what they call him.
They leg it down an alleyway and run onto a quayside where they see Victor coming at them from the other direction. They run through a gateway, onto a gangplank and leap aboard a departing riverboat. Victor tries to clamber onto the riverboat as it pulls away. He kicks the boat in despair as it leaves without him. Prosper and Riccio come to the back of the boat and Riccio waves at Victor.
Hey!
At the hideout, Skip toasts.
Here's to Pro.
Cheers!
Cheers! From now on, our chief loot seller. In fact, you've done so well, I think I'm going to give myself a little break.
But you can't stop. Not now. Barbaros has got a customer. He's looking for a thief. Said there's big money in it.
And I'll help you, Skip. I'll come with you.
No, you won't. Don't be so stupid.
Skippy gave me the kitten, so I'm going to help him with the stealing, and that's that.
Skip thinks.
I'll do it. Bigger money equals bigger plans. And bigger cakes to buy.
See?
In his shop, Barbarossa trims his nose hair and talks to Prosper and Riccio.
Va bene. My customer will meet the thief lord in the confessional, the back left of the Basilica San Marco. And the Conte likes to shroud himself in mystery.
Is he a real Conte?
Are you deaf? What did I just say? As far as your stupid head is concerned, he is the Conte. Is there anything more you need to know?
I need to fly off the handle. What time?
Tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock sharp. And I reserve the right to fly off the handle whenever I feel like it. Thank you very much.
3 o'clock, Backlift Chapel, Basilica, Confessional. Got it. Come on, Prop.
Hold on, hedgehog boy. Now you and your snotty little friend can tag along if you want, but your master has to be there in person. Got it?
But the thief lord won't like that at all.
Won't he? Well, he'll have to live with it. Otherwise, he doesn't get the job.
Skip, wearing his black eye mask with its long, pointy, bird-like beak, strides through the town square, Piazza San Marco, with Prosper and the rest of the gang following on behind. Victor, wearing a red baseball cap and dark glasses, peeps out at the kids from behind a pillar. He makes to follow them as the woman appears again.
You know, I preferred you with a moustache.
My darling, what brings you here?
Oh, I'm just out and about with my camera.
He looks shifty.
Oh, am I interrupting important detective work again?
Well, I am still on a case.
Oh, how exciting. What sort of case?
Well, I can tell you that it involves kids.
He creeps after them.
Well, I'm sure they're innocent.
No. This case isn't about guilt or innocence.
Ida follows him.
Look, if children are in trouble, it's usually because they've been misled or used by adults. You should lock up with parents.
Pigeons flutter around as Skip and the gang swagger through the piazza in single file, with their heads held high. Ida walks behind Victor.
Well, I'm sure I'll be running into you again when you're up to no good.
He looks frosty and she smiles.
Anyway, drop by and see my new house one of these days. Instead of loitering on San Marco all the time.
Well, it's just that they say everyone crosses...
Ciao!
Never mind. Prosper, Mosca, you come inside with me and the others wait here.
But I don't want to wait here.
Me neither. Why can't we all go?
Because Scipio said so. Was that not a good enough reason for you?
Hornet, Beau and Riccio stay by a monument in the piazza, while Skip, Prosper and Mosca step into the Basilica, which is a large, shadowy church-like building, dimly lit by candles. Mosca looks up at the pulpit.
I don't like churches. They give me the creeps.
He walks past the empty pews to Skip and Prosper. Prosper puts his finger to his lips, and they all step into a confessional booth. The boys squeeze up tight in the dark, cramped booth, and Mosca looks at the other two.
Perhaps he's not here yet.
A partition curtain opens.
One should not wear a mask in church. Any more than a hat.
One should not plan a theft in a confessional either. And that's what we're here for, right?
So, you are the thief lord. Well, keep your mask if you must. I can still see that you are very young.
Yes, and you're very old. Does age matter in this transaction?
Not in the least. So, Signor Barbarossa has surely told you that I am looking for someone to retrieve something for me. Something for which I have searched for many long years.
What about the payment?
I see you are a businessman.
Your fee will be 50,000, payable upon delivery.
50,000? Sounds like a fair price.
Pigeons flutter around Beau as he strolls through the piazza. Victor watches and puts birdseed onto his red cap.
Come on, little boy, look at me. Look at the silly old fool who's playing scarecrow. Come on.
Beau looks up at a statue of a winged lion on a column. The statue comes to life and looks at him.
Boyan, Riccio, look! What?
The winged lion's just a statue again.
Nothing.
Fed up, Riccio kicks a bin. Pigeons land on Victor's outstretched arms and Beau walks over to him.
Buongiorno.
You will see that what you are to steal is of great value only to me. It is made neither of gold, nor of silver, but of wood.
When shall we deliver it to you?
As soon as your skills permit. I am an old man. I have only one wish left in this world, to hold in my hands that which you are to steal for me.
How do I know how to find you?
You will find everything you need in this confessional when I have left. Send me word of your success, and you will receive a letter from me the very next day at Barbarossa's.
The old Conte closes the curtain. Outside, in the piazza...
So, what's your name, kind fellow noble knight?
Boy, what's yours?
Victor.
Victor?
I'm a victim of circumstances. All these rotten pigeons.
In the basilica, Prosper reaches into the other booth and takes out a letter and a basket.
Basket? What's inside?
Whatever it is, I think it's alive.
Don't open it. It could be a poisonous snake.
Mosca watches nervously as Skip lifts the lid off the basket and peeps inside. Mosca jumps in fright, then recovers as Skip reaches into the basket and lifts out a pigeon.
It's a homing pigeon. Don't think it's poisonous.
Hey, you know, I live in a hotel just near the Grand Canal. What about you?
In a cinema.
You live in a cinema? What, so you can watch movies all day long?
No, it's broken, but Mosca's trying to mend it.
Oh. Yeah, what's it called?
Can't remember.
Victor kneels in front of Beau.
Wouldn't it be nice if you had a proper house to live in? I mean, don't you have any relatives who could take care of you?
There's my Aunt Esther, but she's not nice and she never smiles.
Uh-huh. You're telling me.
Where's Bud?
Prosper spies Victor.
I've got to go. It was nice talking to you. You take care of yourself.
Victor scurries off into a crowd of tourists.
Furthermore, the city is alive with tales of magic and enchantment.
The kids run off.
We're paying close attention to the stories and details, which makes Venice so alluring.
Victor hurriedly takes off his hat and fake shirt collar and tie. The kids run over a bridge and into a shop, where a variety of masks are displayed in the window. Victor appears on the bridge, now wearing a fake mustache and goatee.
This Victor thingamy, what did he ask you?
He asked me my name.
Did you tell him?
What else did you tell him, Beau? I'm not sure. Did Aunt Esther send him? But he was friendly.
Beau, how many times do I have to tell you? Do not talk
to Skip. I know. But he was funny.
What was he wearing?
They all look at Skip.
Blue jacket and a red cap.
And his watch had a moon on it.
Skip smiles. Victor is leaning over the bridge railing, watching the shop. He sees Prosper remove his beige coat. A moment later, Victor turns and dashes away as Skip, wearing Prosper's coat, leaves the shop and chases after him. Hornet runs off in another direction.
Scusi, I wonder if you'll be so kind as to tell me the time.
Yeah, 4:15.
Thank you. That's a truly remarkable watch you have there. Does it tell the time on the moon too?
Prosper, followed by the others, leaves the shop and runs down a side street.
Perhaps you're a tourist. Where are you visiting from?
I'm an Eskimo, can't you tell?
Really? That is fascinating.
Skip gestures to Victor that his moustache is coming loose. Victor turns and hurries away. Skip scampers off down another street and catches up with him.
Everything's ship-shape and Bristol fashion with your false beard now.
Hornet grabs hold of Victor. A woman hits Victor with her handbag.
I took his wallet, so you can find out some more about the snooper.
Thank you.
Come on, Skip. What is it?
Is that your uncle's?
Some kind of wing.
Must be a lion's wing.
It's probably an angel's wing, made of wood. Just like the Conte said.
50,000 for a wooden wing. We must be missing something.
Perhaps this will explain it. The wing in the photograph is the counterpart to the wing I'm looking for. The pigeon's name is Sophia, and she's a friendly and dependable creature. When you have the wing, set her free and she will find me.
Sophia, do you like pussycats?
Stake out the house. Find out everything you can. I'll meet you there Wednesday at 10. I have to go now. I'll be out of the city again for a couple of days.
Skip, please, let us help you with this job. I mean, not just the staking out, but the stealing.
Okay, why not? You're right. I might need my trusty cohorts for this assignment.
Victor knocks on a black painted door. Massimo, a wavy-haired man in his 40s, stands in a large, ornately decorated room. A maid shows Victor in.
Buongiorno, dottore. Victor Getz. I understand that you own a disused picture house, the Stella, and as I'm writing an article on the history of Venetian cinema, I was wondering if I could have your permission to look around it.
Father, I think the cat's sick.
Scipio, can't you see I have a visitor? How often do I have to tell you to knock?
Massimo glares at Skip.
I just thought we could see the vet.
I don't give a damn about your wretched cat. It's sick because it's just had kittens. I'm not wasting my money on a vet. Continue, Signor
Getz. As I was saying, the history of the Venetian cinema has many fascinating stories, a lot of them involving the Stella.
Skip looks at Victor.
The tenants couldn't pay their rent anymore. Excuse me, Mr. Getz. I believe my distinguished guests from Rome have just arrived. Yes, you have my permission. Scipio, will you find this gentleman the key to the Stella? Good day, sir. Send me a copy of your article as soon as it is published. My son here will find you the key.
Skip starts to walk away.
Hey, where do you think you're going? To warn your pickpocket girlfriend? I spent 5 hours with the Carabinieri because of her. Hey!
Victor runs after the fleeing Skip, who leaves his father's grand canal-side house and races across the Venetian streets. At the Stella, Mosca is drawing.
When's your film going to be finished?
Any day now, but we need to fix the projector to watch it.
What's it about?
Mosca turns and removes his glasses, which have a magnifier attached to one lens, as the others run in. Skip leans breathlessly against the door.
Let me in!
Okay, look, I'll go see who it is.
I'm coming with
hey,
you.
Hey, you stay here.
To Beau.
Skip,
who else do you think it was?
You said you were going away!
Lock the door, quick!
He runs in.
You have to get out of here now.
Get a load of you.
There's no time to explain. The snooper's found out about this place. Get what you need and let's go.
How did the snooper find out?
Where are we supposed to go?
Skip looks downcast.
We're staying right here.
Victor runs out of an alleyway and makes his way over to the boarded-up, graffiti-covered doorway of the Stella. Victor checks the padlock, then takes a black pouch out of his pocket. He removes a small instrument from the pouch and places it between his teeth, then takes out a set of keys. He uses the instrument and one of the keys to pick open the padlock, then opens the door and walks inside. The auditorium is empty.
Hide and seek, is it? You think just because I'm a grown-up, I'm no good at this? Well, sorry to disappoint you, but I just happen to be a first-class seeker.
Victor looks around.
You can't hide forever, you know. What are you going to live on? Begging and petty thievery?
Hey, Victor.
Victor turns.
Have you got a gun?
Yeah, of course. You want to see it?
I'm not scared. It's probably a fake one anyway.
Victor makes a gun with his hand.
Aren't you a smarty pants?
Victor walks towards Beau, who's peeping through the plush red velvet safety curtain.
Now!
They tie him up.
You brat!
That'll teach you to cross swords with a thief lord.
Ask him how he found us.
Why, he'll just tell us lies like all grown-ups do.
Just throw him in the canal then.
The projection room door opens and Prosper turns on the light. Victor lies on the floor, bound and gagged. Prosper pulls a rag out of Victor's mouth.
Your boss gave you permission to do that, but he was trying to poison me with that rag.
Please calm down. I'm sorry about the gag. I have to ask you, what are you doing here? Go back to sleep.
What are you doing here? Are you going to throw him in the canal?
Bo, I'm serious. Go back to bed.
To Victor.
Please don't send me back to Esther.
Well, someone's got to look after you.
But Prosper already looks after me. And Hornet.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid they're not really old enough.
And the Thief Lord? He's nearly 16.
The Thief Lord? I could tell you a thing or two about your Skippy old...
The Thief Lord is none of your business.
Oh, why does he need that? We're the only ones who can hear him.
Thanks, little un.
Skip is eavesdropping on his father.
Fear not. I have no compunction about offering you my services 24/7. As you know, my wife and I are separated. But my son is nothing more than a minor nuisance. I often wonder what all the fuss is about with children. In a few days' time, my brother, who is a retired army captain, will be moving in to assume responsibility for his education on a full-time basis. Then at least we shall get some sense and discipline knocked into him.
Outside a villa.
So, what do we do now? How do we get in?
Riccio turns and smiles.
Hey, look.
They turn.
Must be the housekeeper. I'll go have a little chat with her.
He approaches the shopping-laden woman and her dog.
Oh, watch out! What the devil were you meaning, running into me like that? Are you a thieving little pickpocket or something?
No, I'm not. Sorry about your shopping. Just looking for Dr. Spavento. It's my new dentist. He's at his surgery.
What does he think he's doing?
Let me help you with your shopping.
Where are you going? What are you doing with my shopping?
Is this your house?
Well, not mine, of course. It's Signora Spavento's. Wait for me! Goodness, you may as well carry it into the house.
What about Skip? Shouldn't we have waited?
No, he probably got held up somewhere. Don't worry, you trust him.
What are you kids doing? If you don't want to buy paper, then get lost.
We're not annoying anyone.
You're annoying me and you're giving me heartburn and you're disturbing my valuable customers.
They're not disturbing me.
Very well, Signora, if you say so.
The newspaper vendor goes. Ida smiles.
So, what are you all up to?
None of your business.
Charming.
Sorry, Signora. He's just a bit upset.
Well, why don't you go and find an adventure?
We're not allowed to do anything without permission from my mother.
Oh, that's a shame. I was always getting into trouble when I was your age. But it was worth it. The excitement of the unknown.
That's what my mum used to say when she was alive.
Ida's smile fades.
I must miss her very much.
Prosper looks down sadly.
I do.
Later, Prosper rings Estella's doorbell. Bo opens up.
Where's Mosca? I told you not to come to the door.
Mosca's busy. He's fixing the projector with Victor.
He's doing what?
They burst in.
I don't believe it. Is this your idea of keeping watch? Who said you could untie him?
Calm down, Riccio. He gave me his word of honour that he wouldn't run away.
Exactly. Victor's our friend now.
Friend? Are you by me, you silly baby?
I'm not a silly baby, and he is my friend, so there.
He's our prisoner. Our enemy. Skip's going to go ballistic when he finds out about this.
Where is he anyway?
He didn't show up.
Oh, you don't say.
What's that supposed to mean? Spit it out, fat face.
Oh, aren't you the charming little rodent? Well, I'm afraid you've all fallen under the spell of a liar.
Riccio punches him.
Stop! Stop! And you stop talking in riddles. We won't hold him back next time.
Oh, what a threat. I could show you where to find the answer to these riddles, but I don't suppose you believe me.
Later, the kids make their way along the waterfront to the Massimo Villa. A maid opens up.
Good evening, Signora. Do you have a new boy called Scipio?
What is this, some stupid mischief? We were supposed to meet him today. Bo, Prosper, Hornet, Richard and Mosca. That's us. We're his friends.
Va bene.
Prosper and Bo step inside. The others make to follow.
Wait, two of you is enough.
Prosper and Bo walk into a pillared entrance hall. Bo runs over to a fountain.
Look at this, Brock.
Beau looks at the seahorse-shaped fountain, then turns away with a sigh. Beau climbs up onto the base to take a closer look. As he gently strokes its long, thin snout, it comes to life and leans towards him. Skip appears.
Hey, Skip!
Skip looks at the boys in horror, then runs back up the staircase. Prosper runs after him. Beau follows.
What are you still doing here? Don't you have a tutorial this evening?
Not for now.
And who are these urchins?
Prosper grabs hold of Beau as he runs past him.
They're my friends.
What did I tell you about mixing with the hoi polloi? How are you going to become officer material if you insist on fraternizing with the unwashed?
Massimo grimaces.
Thank God your uncle will be here soon.
He turns and goes.
They're leaving anyway.
Was that your dad? Have you got a mum as well?
Skip stares steadily at them.
Don't look at me like that. I was going to tell you anyway.
Could tell everybody right now. The others are waiting outside.
Skip looks down despondently.
I've got my lesson now. But I can get away tonight. As for the break-in, everything stays as planned, okay?
Don't make me laugh. All that loot was taken from his house, wasn't it? The thief lord is a little rich boy's game. We were your fools.
Prosper looks at Skip hurt, tears welling in his eyes. Prosper and Beau leave the villa and join Riccio, Hornet and Mosca outside.
See? It wasn't our Skip.
Yes, it was.
And his dad's a meanie.
His what? His dad.
What are you talking about? Skip doesn't have a dad.
Why don't you go introduce yourself?
The kids walk off. Spiky-haired Riccio runs back over to the villa and clasps hold of the heavy brass door knocker.
I don't know who you are or what business you have with my son here, but if you know what's good for you, you'll stop this infernal racket and take yourself and your disgusting little friends away from here and never let me see you around this house again.
Massimo pushes Skip inside and slams the door on Riccio. Distraught, Riccio collapses against the wall and slides down to the ground. At the Stella, the kids walk over to a blackboard that's resting on a chair.
Victor's word of honour. The Hartleys will not hear a word from me unless I find out about strange breaking.
We have to catch him again, and this time I swear he's going in the canal. And Skip, you can go with him for all I care.
And what does this mean? Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show? I don't believe it! He must have done it! Mosca Films presents... A film by Mosca in Scratch Vision. The ends of the world.
Wow!
Mosca's
dad is waiting for him on the island.
Dad! Dad! I missed you!
I missed you too, son. Hey! I'm so glad to see you!
Hey!
That's
cool. Yay! Mosca leans through the projection room window and waves as his animated story ends.
He fixed it! Even the curtain and the dimmer work.
See, I told you Victor's our friend now.
Okay, your buddy fixed a projector. Whoop-dee-doo. What about the deal with the Conte? We can't forget that just because Vic the Sneak says so.
Do any of you actually know anything about breaking in? Skip's gonna be no help, you know that, right?
Who cares about Skippio? We'll do it without him. Look, once we've got the 50,000, we won't need anyone. No grown-ups and no phony thief lord. We'll do it tonight. The sooner the better. What do you think? Are you in?
Riccio nods.
I suppose so.
Good. What about you, Prop?
Unsmiling, Prosper looks at her.
Prop, are you in or not?
No way.
I could open that kitchen door with my eyes closed. What if they're still awake? What do we do then?
Hornet, Mosca and Riccio cruise along the canals in a motorboat. Beau runs along a footpath and hides behind a stone pillar. He looks down at the rippling canal and his eyes widen as he sees a mermaid swimming around beneath the surface. The mermaid swims off into the gloomy depths of the water, and Beau looks up as the motorboat approaches. Beau runs up the footpath to a doorway and watches the boat coming nearer. He scurries onto a footbridge and dangles his legs over the edge. As the boat passes under the bridge, Bo jumps into it.
Jeebus, Bo! I almost had a heart attack!
You forgot something really important.
What?
It's under my jumper.
What?
Me!
Prosper lies in bed on a balcony at the hideout. He turns on the light and gets up.
Bo!
Wearing a pair of grey boxer shorts, Prosper looks around, then leans over the balcony.
Mosca? On it! Richard!
Now dressed and wearing his long beige coat, Prosper sprints out of the hideout and over a couple of bridges. He races over to a high wall with Hornet sitting on top of it.
Where's Bo?
Shh!
Bring him back here right now!
Calm down! He snuck out after us and then he threatened to wake up the whole square if we didn't have him over the wall. Here, catch.
She throws down a rope. Hornet and Prosper drop into a patio on the other side and Prosper strides over to Bo.
I sure left you with Esther. Shh. You want to go to an orphanage or a boot camp for babies?
Shh. I'm staying.
See what I mean? Don't do that again, okay? I almost peed my pants.
Riccio's over by a back door and shines a torch at them as he opens it. Mosca, Bo, Hornet and Prosper step through the door behind Riccio and enter a large, shadowy, farmhouse-style kitchen. They shine their torches around at the sink and old-fashioned stove, then walk up a passageway and creep up a flight of stairs. They reach a landing and sweep their torches through the darkness as they pace across the plain wooden floorboards. Light shines through a gap under one of the doors, and Mosca reaches out for the door handle. He jerks his hand back as the handle starts turning before he can touch it. The door slowly creaks open, and a black gloved hand reaches out from inside. Their torchlight falls on Skip, wearing his Thief Lord mask.
What are you doing here? Get lost!
What are you doing here? This is my job.
Oh, shut up, you lying piece of crap! This might just be one opportunity for a rich boy like you, but we need the money.
Stop it. Have you forgotten where we are? And you can't take anything to the Conte, you fibbing, lying rat lord. Not even a message, because we've got Sophia. So there.
Come on, you lot, we've got to find the way. Prosper, me, we'll take the left. Richie and Honey, you got right.
Yeah, and you, pants on fire, just stay out of our way.
The others go, leaving Prosper with Skip.
You better go home, Skipio. The others are really angry. I don't understand what you've done.
Are you angry? Do you understand?
Skip's taken off his mask and stares at Prosper, who gives him a faint smile. Skip bows his head and turns away.
I'm trying.
Mosca and Bo creep into a dark room.
What is this?
Mosca shines his torch across dozens of portrait photographs of children. The room is lit by a faint red tint, and Mosca's torch picks out shelves of chemicals and photographic development equipment. Mosca looks at photos on a desk, and Bo notices some large black and white photos of himself playing with pigeons in the piazza.
Look!
What's the matter?
The pictures.
Whoa!
The rake's not in the living room. What's up?
Skip's just gone upstairs.
What?
Bro,
hell.
Oh my god.
Upstairs!
Oh no!
Everybody just calm down for a minute.
So, for once, I decide to go out at night. And what do I find when I get back? A bunch of little cat burglars creeping around in my house.
Please don't shoot.
It's Ida with a shotgun.
So look who it is. It's the rude little boy from the kiosk. And the little girl. Oh, and the poor orphan boy. What are you after, my cameras?
Please, Signora, don't call the police.
Oh, I think that'll be the very least I will do.
Look, you have a right to be angry, but we're not after your cameras. We only want the wing.
The wing? Really? What do you know about my wing?
She sees Bo.
Oh. And how old are you?
6 1/4.
We're done.
He's my little brother who doesn't know better. Why have you got pictures of him?
Why have you got pictures of him? I'm a photographer. I take pictures of kids on the street. That's why. Where do you live?
We haven't got proper homes.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. If it's true.
skips behind her.
Now, what do you want with my wing?
Someone asked us to steal it.
Asked you? Who?
My client wishes to maintain the utmost confidentiality.
Scipio, put the gun down.
I found the wing. It was in her room. Come on, let's get out of here.
Oh, just give it to me. It doesn't work anyway. And that, I presume, is my wing? You know, I'm curious. Just how much does this mystery employer offer to pay you for it?
50,000.
Skip removes his mask.
50,000? That's rather a lot.
Not for us, because we have to pay for everything, because we don't have parents or anything. And we have to leave the Star Lair, and Mosca's boat needs painting, and Richard needs new teeth, and Hornet needs new clothes, and... I'm worried it's not enough, actually.
Hornet studies the wing.
It's beautiful. It's an angel's wing, isn't it?
An angel's? Oh, no. It's a lion's wing.
I told you so, but no one listens to me.
I was given it when I left the orphanage.
Riccio turns.
Are you an orphan?
Yes. I lived there for more than 10 years.
What makes the wing worth so much?
Do you know, I really don't know. But I think it's time we found out.
A convent.
Mother Superior sent me here because I tried to find out the truth. Over 150 years ago, a rich merchant gave the merry-go-round to the orphanage. But before the children could ever enjoy it, it disappeared. All they ever found was a fragment.
The wing!
The nun smiles and wags her finger.
I found it. In the attic of the orphanage. And I gave it to Ida to keep safe.
Skip and the rest of the gang watch as the elderly nun hugs Ida and kisses her forehead.
I never saw the merry-go-round, but it was said to be unique. It had 5 wooden figures on it.
Yes, I know. The mermaid, the man made with the big fork, the seahorse from the fountain, the flying lion and the uni... what's it?
The unicorn.
A white unicorn gallops out from behind the convent.
Yes, like that one.
Ida and the kids stare at what they see as a white horse, and the nun smiles at Beau.
Beau, how do you know this?
Mom told me.
Sister, what makes the merry-go-round so special?
It had magical powers.
What did it do?
A child could go round and round and round. It became a grown-up. A grown-up could go round and round and round and become a child.
Sister, please tell me, is that really true?
Of course. My great-great-grandmother saw it.
Ida and the kids stroll away from the convent.
The Conte must know where the merry-go-round is now. It doesn't make sense otherwise. You know, I bet he believes that if he reattaches the wing, it really will work.
Work? The sister said.
If it really works, I swear I'll find it. I'll find it, ride in it. And I'll only get off when I'm taller than my father.
I tell you what. I'll let you have the wing. You take it to the Conte and you get your reward. But I want to go with you. We follow the Conte and he will lead us to the merry-go-round.
We'll do what Ida says.
Who asked you? Go home, thief lord, back to that great big posh house you live in. Hey, fighting isn't what we need right now. I'm as cross to him as you are, but this time he's right.
They're all in a motorboat with Ida.
I know it's true because I've seen all the animals now.
I'm afraid it's just the fairy tale boat.
No, it's not. I promise.
Prosper smiles.
Wouldn't it be good if it was true? Think what we could do.
Beau drifts off to sleep in Prosper's arms. It's a sunny day as Beau climbs up some metal stairs to a rooftop, carrying the basket left for them by the old Conte. Prosper, Mosca, Hornet and Riccio watch as Beau takes the homing pigeon out of the basket.
This is your big moment, Sophia, so don't screw up.
He throws Sophia up into the air and she flies off. Victor walks on a canal side, practicing his speech for when he meets the Hartleaves.
The boys are definitely no longer in Venice. I am convinced of it. I'm totally, utterly convinced the boys are no longer in Venice.
But where have they gone? Corfu.
Corfu? But that's impossible. Why on earth would they go to Corfu?
Well, they probably knew that I was onto them.
Oh, no. I'm quite sure that they are still here. Now, I have had posters printed with Boniface's photo on them.
Something you could have done had you shown any initiative. If you continue to display such incompetence, I'll have no choice but to take matters into my own hands.
Bo, Prosper and Hornet are in Barbarossa's shop. Barbarossa coughs and splutters.
Get your grubby hands off! That's a valuable piece!
He leers and opens his drawer. Inside is a poster offering a €10,000 reward for Bo.
Have a little sweetie. Keep you still.
He takes out an envelope.
Now, you can trust your friend Ernesto Barbarossa with the little secret. What did your master steal for the Conte?
We may be young, but we're not completely stupid.
Give them back before I tear your nasty little tongue out! Yeah.
You can keep it because you shouted at Prosper. Anyway, it was yucky.
Bo spat out the sweet. Outside, Prosper opens the envelope.
Meet me on the Sacadella Misericordia. Look out for a red lantern. Tonight, 1 a.m.
Tonight?
Night. The kids join Ida in the motorboat.
And how are you planning to get across the lagoon in that tub anyway?
Who said anything about the lagoon?
Well, you don't think the Conte could keep the merry-go-round secret in the city, do you? Another thing, he's not going to be too happy to find the rightful owner of the wing in on the deal.
Skippy had better stare. He knows all about boat trips.
All right, I'll make myself invisible for a while.
Ida sits at the front of the boat and wraps herself up in a grey blanket as Skip pilots the boat along the narrow canal. An old woman with a shawl around her head sits on the deck of a launch. She stares out at the black sky as the Conte emerges from below deck, holding a red-tinted lamp.
Soon, my beloved sister. Soon our years of patience will earn their reward. Time our foolish young delivery boy kept his appointment.
He hangs the lamp on a metal post. Skip, now wearing his Thief Lord mask, steers the motorboat across the open water towards the launch, where the Conte stands waiting.
Salve, Thief Lord. I presume you're just as cold as we are. So let's complete this transaction as quickly as possible.
Skip lifts the huge wooden wing out of the boat and hands it up to the Conte. Skip and his gang stare, and the Conte's sister looks overwhelmed as the Conte raises the wing high above his head. Skip and Prosper exchange bewildered looks. Barbarossa stands watching them through binoculars.
What on earth is that?
Here. If I were you, I would use the money to find myself another occupation. How old are you? 14? 15?
With this money, I can be any age I want. I won't have to be a child any longer.
Did you hear that, Renzo? He no longer wants to be a child.
Nature will soon grant him his wish.
They've given Skip a bag.
Don't you want to count the money, Thief Lord?
Skip nods at the others, who put the black leather bag down on the deck and open it. Inside are wads of cash.
Holy moly!
Riccio frowns.
How much does it cost to go to the dentist?
They put the money back into the bag and close it. Skip turns to the Conte.
Looks like it's all here. I believe you to be a man of your word.
Safe return, Thief Lord.
The Conte and his sister put on the hoods of their cloaks and the launch cruises away. Barbarossa watches.
Thief Lord, Hedgehog Boy, Money Boy, Boat Boy. I wonder where my walking, talking little reward is.
Turn on the light.
Barbarossa and two policemen are in the Stella.
There they are, the little pests.
The police, what's wrong?
Get them.
Go, quick, they're not back yet. Come on, Bo.
Hornet leads Bo by the hand and they run from the policemen.
Stop running. We're not going to harm you.
Come on, Bo, you're here.
Stop.
They slam a door.
Can't get away, kid.
They run through a narrow passage.
Watch out!
Stop!
They turn a corner and come face to face with Barbarossa and the rest of the policemen.
Well, well, well. Look who it is.
The police take them.
Did you really think you were going to get away? Running never helps.
Barbarossa grins.
Ka-ching!
The Conte's launch sails across the Fast Lagoon. The Conte and Contessa stand by the wheel, both shrouded in their black hooded cloaks. In the motorboat, Ida and the kids follow at a distance.
How fast the Conte gonna sail? If we go on like this, we'll be as stiff as frozen chickens.
The dark outline of an island lies up ahead.
Oh my God, I know where this is. Don't go any further, turn off the engine. Isola Segreta, the secret isle. I thought it was deserted, but it seems I'm wrong. Isola Segreta. Isn't that the island where nobody goes? They say it's haunted. And that anyone who sets foot on the island never returns.
I've had it. Let's go. I'm not going near no haunted island. Deal off. Time to get our money home.
Wait. Look. They're looking this way.
Renzo, can you see anything?
There's nothing there. They're just nervous. They know what we're doing.
Oh, my God, I think the woman's got a gun.
Heads down!
Get away from here!
Don't you know this is private property? Keep your heads down!
Don't come back!
Ida's boat turns tail and speeds away.
Is everyone all right? I am so sorry I dragged you into this madness.
Prosper goes over to Skip at the back of the boat.
Well, at least we've got the money.
It's their prop. It has to be on that island.
Prosper, Riccio and Mosca arrive back at the Stella. Red and white police tape bars the front door.
What have the police been doing here?
How should I know?
Shut up, come on.
They race inside.
Oh, hold it. Where are you?
I knew it! Why didn't you listen to me? It's the snooper, he's calling us! Stupid wider runner! I can shoot!
They run upstairs to the balcony.
Hold on, snugger! Calm down! Put that away, okay?
A baseball bat.
I'll go ask him. See if he'd rather tell us to have his face smashed in.
Skip walks quietly through the Massimo Villa. His father appears with Hornet and two policemen.
Ah, gentlemen. The matter seems to have resolved itself. My son has decided to come home after all.
Do you know this boy?
Hornet glowers.
Oh, just let me go. I can walk by myself.
To Skip.
Those with his aunt.
The two policemen steer her away. Massimo looks down at Skip.
If I find you had something to do with this incident at the Stella, I swear to God you will regret the day you were born.
Massimo stares icily at Skip, then walks briskly away. Day. Victor walks across a canal bridge and turns down an alleyway. As he walks, he dunks a biscuit into a cup of coffee and eats it. At the end of the alleyway, Prosper, Riccio and Mosca are stood around the corner waiting for him. Prosper wields the baseball bat.
Where's my brother? And where's Hornet?
Go on, tell him!
Somebody kindly tell me what all this rumpus is about.
Bo and Hornet have disappeared, and Prosper thinks that you ratted on us. So then, so does Richard.
What a load of cobblers. Number one, I haven't ratted on anyone. Number two, I haven't been to the Stella since I escaped. Number three, I told the Hartleaves that you'd left Venice. And so, don't you think it's time to decide if I'm your friend or your enemy?
Victor looks over at a group of tourists.
Now, I think we'd better go inside before we become a tourist attraction.
In Victor's office, Mosca tips the bundles of banknotes onto the desk. Victor walks over and gapes. Mosca smiles up at him.
Oh. So, Ida let you run through the city with this lot. You've got some nerve, I must say.
He flicks through the money.
Hang on.
He pulls out a note and examines it.
Somebody's ripped you off. This money's not real.
Riccio and Mosca look at each other.
Fake money?
I'm afraid so. All of it.
What a waste! The break-in, the lagoon. We nearly get shot. What do we get? A pile of funny money!
Riccio swipes the pile of fake banknotes off the table, then picks up a bundle and throws it. Prosper looks calmly at Victor.
What about Bo?
Riccio and Mosca look up at Victor, wide-eyed.
I'm sorry, Proper. I'll do everything I can to help get him back.
Mr. and Mrs. Hartlieb are asleep in bed in their luxurious hotel room. Mrs. Hartlieb answers the phone.
Hello.
Good morning, Mrs. Hartlieb.
It's Victor Getz.
How dare you call me at this hour?
Your case has resolved itself. We have captured our nephew, no thanks to you. Apparently he was hiding in some derelict cinema with some girl who wouldn't give a name. The police are taking care of her. Now, will you kindly not disturb us again?
Victor frowns and looks up sadly at Prosper, who doesn't meet his gaze. Prosper suddenly turns and runs out of the room. He sprints through the glistening, rain-washed streets. Beau sits with Mr. and Mrs. Hartlieb on the terrace of an expensive-looking restaurant. Prosper spies on them from behind a newspaper stand.
You look so smart in your new suit.
It's all right. Have a taste. It's all for you.
I hate it and I hate you.
Beau picks up his fancy ice cream sundae and smears it down his front.
What on earth do you think you're doing, you ungrateful little monkey?
Mrs. Hartlieb goes to slap Beau but hits a glass of wine.
Morning. We're here to see Ida Spavento.
Don't I know you?
Oh, yes, you do. We're staying this time.
Victor, what on earth is going on?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
And to make things even worse, the Conte gave us fake money.
No.
These kids are in enough trouble as it is, Ida. You really haven't helped.
Shut up, Victor.
Ida frowns, troubled.
Well, I guess I'm the one in trouble now.
Well, I'm sure we'll figure something out. Damn it, Ida, what were you thinking of, taking these kids off on one of your crazy adventures?
Oh, well, what would you have done? Locked them all up in an orphanage again?
Talking of which, they probably took Hornet to the Merciful Sisters. Does anyone know her real name?
Caterina? Aha, so that is your name. Come with me, you have visitors.
Who is it?
Your godmother.
Hornet looks puzzled. She walks out into the hallway.
There she is. Come here.
Oh. Hornet runs over to Ida and hugs her.
Sweetheart.
Riccio walks over to Prosper, who stands looking up at the Hartlieb's hotel.
Come on, Prop. You can't wait out here all night.
He looks up at him.
Beau's inside there, I know it.
Beau's not going anywhere tonight. As long as he's in the hotel, he's safe. Anyway, Hornet can't wait to see you. You know what? I reckon she's got a crush on you.
Prosper chuckles, then follows Riccio, smiling coyly. Lights reflect off the dark, shimmering canal. Wearing his Thief Lord mask, Skip clambers over a rooftop. He drops down into an attic room where Prosper and the kids are fast asleep. Skip removes his mask, then crouches down beside Prosper's makeshift bed and taps him on the shoulder.
Wake up.
How do you know we were at Ida's?
How quickly you forget how I can ghost through the city, tracking whom I please. They took her away from you because you're not grown up like them. There's only one thing for it, Prop. We have to go back to the island and both take the ride of a lifetime.
The two boys stare at each other for a moment, then Prosper follows Skip down a set of stone steps and into a motorboat. The boat speeds off down the canal. At the hotel, Beau leans out of an open window. He looks down, then carefully climbs over a stone balustrade. Beau grabs onto the rail as he slips onto a ledge on the other side. Beau peers down at the ground far below him, then starts to sidle gingerly along the ledge, which runs across one side of the grand palatial building. A section of the stonework gives way beneath him. Beau clings on and continues along the ledge. Below him, the Hartlieb's get out of a gondola.
Come on, dear.
Oh, what do you expect in this place? What is there to say?
What did you think of the wine? Warm white wine.
Oh!
Warm white wine.
I mean, warm white wine.
You'd think they'd know.
Beau shimmies down a drainpipe.
But what about the soggy spaghetti?
Did you get cheese with that fish sauce?
No. Did you?
No.
The Hartlieb's wander along the balcony towards their room. Now on a lower level, Beau climbs over a balustrade and onto a balcony. In their room, the Hartlieb's argue with their babysitter.
I looked everywhere else.
Are you bringing out a window to here? Oh, really?
Oh,
look. Down there. Look in the drawer.
It wasn't me.
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Oh.
Is there a chance, Mr. Getz, that you will perform any useful service in our employ? Or are you too busy feeding your tortoises?
I beg your pardon. I thought I'd been fired.
Boniface has run away again. Selfish little imp.
Now, we expect her back here with us by the morning.
When did he run away? Is anyone looking for him? Your husband or the police?
Oh!
Mr. Harleep takes the phone.
Listen here, Getz. Fortunately for you, my wife is a patient woman.
This case will be resolved immediately, if I have to do it myself. Is that clear enough for you?
Victor grabs his coat and goes. Across the lagoon, the Isola Sagretta lies shrouded in darkness, a speck of faint light burning to one side. On the island, Skip and Prosper clamber onto an old brick wall, a jungle of shrubs below them.
See? Like I thought. No dogs at the back.
They jump down into the garden and Skip leads the way as they make their way stealthily through a thicket of shrubs. Prosper swallows nervously and stops. Skip turns back to him.
What's the matter?
I'm scared.
Of what?
They've guns.
Skip turns and jogs onwards. Prosper follows reluctantly. At the Stella, Victor turns on the lights.
Bo?
He walks in slowly.
Bo! It's me, Victor.
Not going back to Esther.
Well, good, because we're not planning to let her have you.
Really?
Yeah, not even the tiniest little piece of you. Where are you?
Up here.
Bo's climbing on the balcony railing.
They're all gone. And my kittens.
They're all tucked up safe and sound at Ida's house.
Esther said Prosper was bad.
Now, let me tell you one thing. Prosper is the best brother anyone could have. Come on, I'll catch you.
Victor holds his arms out towards Bo. Bo stares down at him for a moment, then jumps. Victor catches Bo, who throws his arms around Victor's neck.
I bet that big brother of yours is worried sick about you. But at least he's in a nice soft bed.
Skip and Prosper make their way slowly through the moonlit garden. The boys turn in fright as two large black dogs bound up behind them.
Come on, now take us down.
Limba, Bella, enough!
A young girl grabs a hold of the dogs.
What are you doing here?
We want to see the Conte.
The Conte doesn't like unannounced visitors.
We had a deal with him, and he cheated us.
That way. And don't try to run. My dogs are faster than you.
The young girl, wearing a red business suit and pearls, walks off, still holding on to the dogs. Prosper and Skip follow after her.
Bella. Renzo, the thief lord's come to pay you a visit. Something about fake money and a merry-go-round. I think it would be a capital idea to feed him and his little friend to the dogs.
I apologize for my sister's rudeness. So you found out about the money. My apologies. It was Barbarossa's idea. I wouldn't have been able to pay you otherwise.
I knew it. The merry-go-round works.
They both look at the young boy.
You're the Conte.
At your service, thief lord.
A toy train comes to a stop in front of him.
Does anyone know you're here?
Our friends know. And a detective too.
We will settle everything to your full satisfaction. We pay you with a ride on the merry-go-round. That is what you are here for, is it not?
It is indeed.
Just be aware that this is no simple fairground attraction. To ride one of the creatures is to ride into the teeth of peril. I only just managed to dismount in time.
Looks like you went a bit too far.
We were never allowed a real childhood in which to play and grow up together.
How could you possibly want to turn yourselves into children? Prosper and I want to ride the merry-go-round forward.
Va bene, if that is your wish.
They all turn in the direction of the barking.
I'll go and check on them.
Are you expecting visitors?
No one dares to set foot on this island. The only visitor we were allowed to come here was Barbarossa.
Does he know about the merry-go-round?
Good heavens, no. He'd immediately start selling tickets at 10,000 apiece.
Victor walks along with Bo draped around his shoulders. The Hartleeps creep along behind them.
Can't wait to see Prosper's face when he sees you safe and sound.
Oh,
What if you rode the merry-go-round? There's no old, like you.
I don't know what funny stories you've been listening to.
Carved wooden figures, including the merman and the winged lion, rise up from a magnificent merry-go-round. The boys run towards it.
Wow. Look at it, Brock. It's incredible. This is the solution to all our problems.
Problems don't disappear just because you get older.
That's the point. You'll be a man, free to overcome them in any way you want. Does it matter which one we ride?
The lion was the right mount for me, but to grow older, you two must choose one of the water creatures.
Come on, Prop. Take a pick. Which one do you want, the seahorse or the merman?
Prosper stares at him.
What you do is your choice. But I can't do this.
Skip glances downwards.
What about Beau? Think how happy he would be.
Beau wants me as a brother, not a father.
Prosper looks at Skip sorrowfully. Skip turns to the young Conte, Renzo.
You heard him, Conte. Looks like I'm riding solo. So let's do it.
Skip runs onto the merry-go-round and climbs up onto the seahorse.
Come on, let's go!
Are you quite sure you want to go through with this?
I've never been more sure of anything in my life. And I swear I won't come off till I need a shave.
Hold on tight!
Renzo, who wears a smart grey suit and tie, walks over to a large crank handle and starts to turn it. He lets go as the merry-go-round begins to spin, its large wooden cogs rotating as it gathers speed.
Here we go!
Prosper and Renzo stand and watch as the merry-go-round revolves, Skip holding on tight to his seahorse. Smoke begins to rise from the spinning cogs. It billows upwards.
Roll on the good times! Woo! Yeah!
Sparks of light flash from the mechanism. Yeah! Skip is engulfed in the now thick white smoke. Suddenly, the seahorse travels forwards along a swirling vortex, appearing to leave the merry-go-round behind. Skip looks about in glee as the seahorse follows after the merman, ripples of bright light shooting by. Prosper holds his hands up as a wave of smoke passes over him. Prosper and Renzo step backwards as the merry-go-round spins in a cyclone of smoke and light. Fierce sparks emit from the whirling cogs. An anxious Skip clings onto the seahorse as he travels faster and faster.
Make him get off or he'll be an old man!
Skip holds on to the seahorse's pectoral fins as he flies along the vortex.
Jump off!
Skip lets go and spins back through the swirling sapphire blue vortex, which resembles a heavy sea with its streaks of frothy waves. The thick smoke fades away as the merry-go-round slows. Prosper and Renzo make their way back over towards it. Prosper gapes as he looks up at the huge machine. Renzo smiles as it comes to a halt, the seahorse now devoid of its rider. Prosper looks at Skip wide-eyed as he makes his way towards them.
That was incredible.
Adult Skip, now in his 20s, holds his hands up to his forehead and shakes his head.
Don't look so shocked.
Skip, now tall, grabs Prosper and picks him up.
It worked. Look, just look at me.
Skip puts a hand up to his face.
Stubble. Unbelievable.
Come on, Prop. What do you think? Am I bigger than my father?
It's this way. Believe me.
Ow. Where are you taking me, you little squat?
No, we're nearly there.
Oh. I knew you were stringing me along. You just tried to get me away from the house. But wait.
They reach the ride.
Away from this extraordinary contraption.
Signor Barbarossa, what, for heaven's sake, are you doing with the Contessa?
Contessa?
Yes, Contessa.
I presume we are here for the same reason at this late hour, namely to experience the magic of this famous merry-go-round in operation.
Famous? Magic?
His eyes widen.
Wait a moment. This... it's the legendary merry-go-round of the Merciful Sisters. It must be worth a fortune. You may look older. Has it made you wiser, Thief Lord?
Why don't you try it yourself?
Of course, why not?
Shake off some years. Get rid of those aches and pains. Sharpen the mind, perhaps.
You do know how to work it.
I do indeed. Come on, you two. Signor Barbarossa wishes to take a ride.
Which animal should I mount?
I would suggest the lion.
Skip smiles slyly, and Prosper gets ready to wind the handle as Barbarossa climbs aboard the winged lion.
Excellent! I'm ready for my little test drive.
You heard, Signor Barbarossa. Let's give him the ride he deserves.
Not too hard. Just a few turns at first. Who wouldn't want to shed a few years, eh?
Prosper and Conte Renzo turn the handle and the ride spins backwards.
Goodbye, wrinkles. Goodbye, saggy tummy. Goodbye, big fat wobbly bottom.
The cogs whir and the ride spins faster and faster.
Hey, no, no, not so hard. I'm gonna be sick.
Skip looks on as the merry-go-round speeds around. Barbarossa's eyes are wide with fright. Flames shoot up from the whirling cogs. Skip, Prosper, the Contessa and Renzo use their arms to shield themselves from the smoke and fallen leaves whipped up from the windstorm. Barbarossa holds on tightly to the winged lion as it travels through the vortex, his legs flying out behind him. He's thrown onto one of the lion's wings. It snaps off when he hurtles backwards through the vortex, broken pieces of the wooden figures tumbling after him. The ride explodes in a shower of glittering sparks. A large burning cog rolls across the earth like a wheel and collides with a fallen wooden figure before crashing to the ground.
What have we done? That fat pig!
A small, bald child wearing oversized clothes emerges from the smoking ruins of the merry-go-round.
My God! That was the ride from hell!
You dolt! You great, fat, scheming hippopotamus! You've just destroyed what I've spent half my life working on!
It wouldn't stop! Look at what's happened to me! I'm a respected man!
Can I at least recommend a better tailor?
Titus.
Oh, Victor, you found him. Oh, thank goodness, we were looking for him all night.
Mr. and Mrs. Hartlieb climb up Ida's garden wall and peer over the top.
Is he okay?
He's fine, he's just a bit tired.
Prosper sits down next to Beau. Victor and Ida leave them alone.
Where have you been?
The merry-go-round with Skip.
Didn't work, did it?
They gaze at each other.
Yeah, it did. Skip's all grown up.
Really? But you're still my same prop.
Are you disappointed?
Beau stares up at Prosper.
No. I'm happy.
They hug. Barbarossa holds up a glass.
Bottoms up to Belladonna and Big Nose here!
Big Nose? Excuse me? Who is this impertinent midget?
Midget? I am Ernesto Barbarossa! I am a successful and honest businessman and enjoy the respect of this fair city. And who might you be?
He sits down.
Oh, my God, it's true. It works.
Stop it. You've had enough.
What are you? My father?
You'll do as you're told. You'll be straight to bed with no story.
Skip takes a drink. Ida gapes in astonishment.
Sorry, I had to bring him here, Ida. He's afraid of the dark, so he didn't want to stay in the shop on his own.
Shop? Excuse me, sorry, I don't understand. I mean, and you? I've heard of growth spurts, but this is ridiculous. I mean, what are you, your own older brother or the winner of a Thief Lord lookalike competition or what?
How about your new assistant?
The Hartleaves creep along outside.
Can someone please explain what's going on here before I start drinking port for breakfast as well?
Look, it's only me, just a bit taller and older.
The Hartleaves watch as Skip, Victor and Ida leave. Inside...
Beau, where did Victor find you?
In the Stella.
Oh.
All the places we never thought to look. The Stella.
And now you're back, that's the most important thing.
So he's proper.
He went to the merry-go-round.
And it works, like I always said.
It really worked? No way.
The Hartleys burst in.
So, this is the little gang of criminals. The sooner we put you all behind bars, the better. Oh, there he is, the little runaway.
He's staying with me.
As you keep telling us.
Get out of the way.
No!
Give me my son! No!
It's not your son, you skanky old bat!
How dare you speak to my wife like that, you little monster!
Mr. Hartleib swipes Riccio across the face. Hornet covers Beau's eyes as Riccio and Prosper push Mr. Hartleib backwards. Mrs. Hartleib whacks Prosper with her handbag. Riccio knocks her over. Mr. Hartleib grabs Ida's shotgun.
Enough!
Everyone looks at Mr. Hartleib in fright. Prosper steps slowly backwards.
Now, just hand over your brother, and we'll forget this ever happened.
It doesn't work, Snotnose.
Oh, really? Would you like to find out?
Beau smiles. Prosper stares wide-eyed as the bullet misses him by inches, creating a large hole in the wall behind him. Beau and Hornet run over to him as Mrs. Hartleib crawls over to her shaken husband.
Now look what you've done, you stupid child!
Leave him alone.
He's 6 years old and he's got more sense than the pair of you put together.
It was an accident. He said it didn't work.
I suggest you put the gun down.
Skip grabs it.
Leave. Leave here. Leave Venice and leave these boys alone. You're not fit to look after a tortoise, never mind a child. Now get out before I call the police.
Skip and the kids watch as the whimpering Hartleib scuttle out. Long, dark-haired Skip smiles.
Wow. That certainly told them.
See what I mean about being a grown-up?
How am I supposed to sleep with all this noise? Does anybody have an aspirin?
At the hotel.
Only speak when you're spoken to.
I better be rich, and I mean filthy rich.
Do try to keep a straight face, Ida.
Mrs. Hartleib.
Good afternoon.
Monsignor and I are the principals of the orphanage of the Merciful Sisters.
How can we help you? We understand you are looking for a child to adopt. We have conducted some research and we have concluded that you are of impeccable character.
Oh, thank you.
Forgive our presumptuousness, but we saw an opportunity for little Ernesto to find the happiness of a loving home.
What an adorable little fellow you are.
What do you say, Ernesto?
Scusi?
Little Barbarossa beams. Ida, dressed as a nun, and Victor as a priest, hand him over. Dusk, Riccio and Mosca are in Barbarossa's shop. They open the safe.
Man, it's even more than the fake stuff.
They take out bundles of cash.
Can you count out 50,000?
What am I, Einstein?
And we return the fake money to Barbarossa.
60, 80, maybe a little bonus.
The deal is 50 grand.
Okay, 50 grand. Interest. Tax. Expenses.
Riccio smiles. Later, they're with Skip.
Has everybody got their share now?
Everybody except you.
I'll use it to buy you this boat, and then put the rest of it in bank accounts for each of you.
Bank accounts? What next? My midlife crisis?
To a man.
I want to buy this boat. How much do you want for it?
7,000.
Is it seaworthy?
Certainly, it's just been refitted.
It looks about as seaworthy as a rubber duck. I'll give you 5.
6.
5.
The vendor ponders.
Done.
They shake on it.
Let me get the deed.
Now, don't go tearing around Canal Grande at night in this thing.
And what would give us that idea?
I expect you to behave.
Hey, that's a laugh come from you, thief lord.
Taxi!
Taxi! Taxi!
Taxi! Taxi!
Taxi!
Taxi!
Over here!
The Hartleibs are standing by a jetty on one side of the lagoon. Beau skips up behind them. With one shove, he pushes them both into the lagoon, then skips off along the promenade. Barbarossa, who was standing just behind the Hartleibs, scowls as he watches Beau ride off on the back of Prosper's bike. Skip, Mosca and Riccio are on Skip's new boat.
Yeah! Check out our boat! Woo! Just cast drive the new waterway!
Yeah! I'm gonna go look for my dad!
Hey, boss!
I'll see you tomorrow in the office.
Victor gives a thumbs up.
Come on, Mosca, let's go!
Victor?
Yeah?
What's Bart and I supposed to do now?
What do you mean?
What about me?
I know what I want to do. See you with Ida.
Well, he's right, of course. You can't leave me now. I just rattle around in that big old house. Victor, say something. Tell them they can't leave.
Okay, you heard her. You have to stay.
I think we'd make quite a family.
What?
Victor, say yes, say yes.
Beau, wearing a bright orange life jacket, jumps onto Victor's lap. Hornet slides herself along and leans back against Prosper. Ida pulls a pair of large blue-framed sunglasses off her head and puts them on. Beau, Victor, Hornet, Prosper and Ida all smile happily. The boat heads out into the vast lagoon, the sun casting a golden sheen on its gently undulating water. ITFC audio description written by Jennifer Hill and Alan Blyton was voiced by Jennifer Hill. Produced and directed by Richard Klaus. Screenplay by Daniel Musgrave and Richard Klaus. Based on the novel by Cornelia Funk. A Warner Brothers Pictures presentation. A co-production by Comet Films, Deluxe Productions, Ferngully Films, Warner Brothers Film Productions Germany. In association with Cometstone TL Distribution, Arclight Films International, Minotaur Film Partnership No. 1, Therma Production, Blue Rider Pictures. A Richard Klaus production, The Thief Lord. Cast in order of appearance, Prosper, Aaron Johnson, Beau, Jasper Harris, Esther Hartlieb, Carol Boyd, Max Hartlieb, Bob Guddy, Victor, Jim Carter, Chemist, Malcolm Turner. Scipio, Rollo Weeks. Riccio, George McKay. Hornet, Alice Connor. Mosca, Nathaniel Dyer. Barbarossa, Alexi Sale. Ida, Caroline Goodall. Conte, Jeffrey Hutchins. Dottore Massimo, Robert Bathurst. Maid, Roya Zaga. Housekeeper, Anne Comfort. Newspaper salesman, Chris Bairn. Sister Antonia, Vanessa Redgrave. Contessa, Anita Wright. Policeman, Moran Carlilli. Nun, Linda Woodall. Morrisina, Poppy Rogers. Renzo, Lewis Crutch. Baby Barbarossa, Zach Davies. Boat dealer, Dean Gregory. Executive producer, John Buchanan. Executive producers, Alexander Buchman, Jimmy de Brabant, Michael Dunave, Gary Hamilton. Music by Nigel Clark and Michael Cassani-Wills. Music performed by the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Robin Page. Orphan Skies, music by Nigel Clark and Michael Cassani-Wills. Lyrics by Kareem Fanous. Strings arranged by Paul Englishby. Published by Air Adele Associates. Vocals, Howard New. Bass guitar, Joe Henson. Drums, Danny Cummings. Guitar, Mark Lowe. The producers wish to acknowledge the assistance of the following: Jack Bocron, Rachel Buchanan, Shaminda Fair, Luxem Bourgeois, Arcelor, Carlo Giorgetti, Laminoir de Dude Long, Oscar Immobile, Villeroy and Bock, Lycée Technique des Arts et Métiers, Clean Center, Karcher, Papeterie Beaumont. A German, United Kingdom, Luxembourg co-production, filmed on location in Italy and Luxembourg and at Deluxe Studios Luxembourg. Production finance supported by Film Fund Luxembourg, Film Fund Hamburg, German Federal Film Board. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictions, and any similarity to the name, character or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintended. This motion picture is protected pursuant to the provisions of the law of the United Kingdom, Germany, Luxembourg, the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of this film may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright MMV Minotaur Partnership No. 1. The Dolby Double D logo. Dolby Digital in selected theatres.